إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session, reading from At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li-Shajrat al-Iman. Al-Imam عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله رحمة واسعة. Tonight we are going to بإذن الله تعالى pick up where we left off last week, the last section that we read last week, because of the time running out on us, we kind of went through it a little bit quickly. So tonight, inshallah, we're going to go back to that point, that is the mention of some of the usul of iman after the definition of iman. The mention of some of the usul of iman. That was the last thing that we discussed last week. But I feel that it's of such great importance that it's worthy of going back to it again and taking another look. Before we do that though, we want to go over some of the points that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide number 2. There were actually 7 questions. The last question mentioned some of the usul of iman presented by the author, rahimahullah. We're going to leave that question out. We're going to leave that question out for tonight and come back to it for tonight's discussion. So actually, there should be 6 questions. If you were here last week and you gave us your email address and you didn't receive any email from us, that means I couldn't get the email address correctly. I had a problem with about 3 or 4 email addresses. I tried different combinations. I thought the letter was R, I thought it was N, I thought it was something else. And I tried different combinations, none of them worked. So, there was at least 3 or 4 people last week who wrote an email address, but I couldn't get it. So, if you didn't get an email from us, that means you need to give me your email address again, and this time, try to be a little bit more careful in writing or printing letters and numbers a little bit more clearly. I always have difficulty with email addresses. I don't want to spend a lot of time with this, but I just want to make sure. We did send some notes out last week from last week's class, and if you didn't get the email, then you missed out on that. So I would like to make sure that if you're here and you want us to send you the notes, then please make sure you give me the email address again. Okay, so the first question from last week's discussion was give a brief description from the author's muqaddimah, from the author's introduction of this essay, a brief description of this essay's primary sources, and the primary sources that he used to write what he wrote, and the 3 main subject areas, the 3 subdivisions of the book. Those 3 subdivisions of the book I mentioned last week are not in the translation. Somehow they deleted it. They didn't include it. I don't know how or why. But in any case, when we came to that point, I made notice that this is not in the translation, so please pay attention. If you didn't find the answer to this question, the 3 main subject areas, you could have looked through the book and saw that the book is divided into 3 parts, and each one of those parts is what he mentioned in the introduction that they deleted. In any case, this is the first question. Give a brief description of the essay's primary sources and the 3 main subject areas. From the Muqaddimah. Naam, Qasim.
The 2 sources are researches and facts related to Iman from the Quran and Sunnah.
Now, in the introduction, the author, rahimahullah, he said, "Yani that these, yani what we're talking about in this yani essay is important, very, very important researches, topics that are the most important of what we can study in this deen, and they are going to be derived from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." As far as the three areas, the three main subject areas that he mentioned, anybody else want to help us? Naam. Tafsir of Iman. The tafsir, the explanation of what is Iman, the definition of Iman. Second one, second area? The usul of Iman, yani the fundamentals, yani the essential components of Iman, the things that strengthen Iman. Yani, what's related to that? And the third area? Third area, anybody? The last area that he deals with, oh, okay. Naam, the fawaid and thamarat of Iman, the benefits and fruits of Iman. These are the three main areas. The book is divided into three, yani subdivisions, and each one of them is of great importance. For now, we're going to be dealing with the first area, that is the definition of Iman, and the proofs, some of the proofs and evidences for this definition. The shaykh is going to follow it, ayahs from the Quran and hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which clarify that this definition, which we discussed last week in detail, that it is, in fact, the true definition of Iman, based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of in the Quran and through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the authentic Sunnah. The second question, memorize the ayat from Surah Ibrahim, 24th and 25th ayah, which contain the method, the parable, which is the theme of this essay. Two ayat from Surah Ibrahim. Who memorized them? We have to memorize, brothers. Even older people, we have to memorize. I don't think there's too many people here older than me. And we just have to keep trying. Yani, we can't like just give up on memorizing the Book of Allah. If we didn't memorize the whole of it, then at least memorize some of it. Naam. So who wants to recite to us from memory? Naam. Daraballahu. أصلها ثابت وفرعها ثابت وفرعها help him في السماء تؤتي anybody help us with the next ayah
تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم
Now, this is these two ayats are the basis, actually, of the theme of this book. Very, very important parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers for us to reflect upon, to think over, and to try to comprehend so that we can act upon it in our lives. Yani, did you not consider, yani, the parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made of a good word, which is like a good tree, whose يعني أصلها ثابتٌ يعني its roots are established firmly in the earth, underneath the ground. وَفَرُعَ فِي السَّبَاءِ And its branches are up in the sky, rising high into the sky. And it gives its أُقُل يعني its ثمرات, its fruits, all the time. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا يعني by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is يعني very, very important يعني parable from amongst the parables that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in the Qur'an. It's really critical that a person examine it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, أَلَمْ تَرَى And He's encouraging us, yani to look at this, to examine it, to inspect it, to reflect upon it, to ponder over it, to understand it, so that we can benefit from this example that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. The next question, discuss briefly the intended meaning of كَلِمَ طَيِّبَة good word, and شَجِرَ طَيِّبَة a good tree in this method. Yani briefly, what is intended by كَلِمَ طَيِّبَة And what is intended by? Yani shajar al-tayyiba. Naam, who's that in the back? Okay, Anwar. Naam.
Kalima tayyiba is the shahada.
The kalima tayyiba is the shahada of la ilaha illallah. That's the kalima tayyiba. The good word is the bearing witness, yani the testimony of La ilaha illallah. Nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Subhanallah. What, yani could there be a better word? This is the ultimate truth of reality. La ilaha illallah. This is the greatest thing that a person could know and understand and live by. La ilaha illallah. Now, and the shajra tayyiba? We said that the shajra tayyiba is the? Is a good tree. What tree is it? It came, yani, the mention of that tree. Now, the date palm tree. The kalima tayyiba is like the date palm tree. And the people who have seen the date palm tree, when they look at it, it has more yani, significance. When you actually see the date palm tree, and you see how firmly its roots is established in the earth, how strong it is. How strong it is. Established in the earth. Yani, the winds may blow back and forth, but it stands. You know, and its branches are high into the sky. And it's bringing forth fruits that you can eat in different seasons, and then yani, you can just keep them for the rest of the year. Yani what? You didn't take in a certain stage, that it's yani, tastes different in each stage. You can keep them yani, throughout the year and benefit from them all the time. And it has many other benefits. So this is the tree, the nakhla, yani, the date palm tree, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making the example for us to compare the good word to this good tree. So, yani, a little bit further in terms of the meaning of this parable, yani, is that the kalima tayyiba represents shahada la ilaha illallah. Yani, asluha thabit. Yani, the nakhla is roots are established in the earth, its branches go high in the sky, and it brings forth fruit all the time. So, what about the yani kalima tayyiba, which is the shajara, shajaratul iman? What can we say about it? Its roots are what? Firm in the hearts of the believers. Firmly established in the hearts of the believers. Yani, this kalima la ilaha illallah has to be firmly established in the hearts of the believers. Ilman wa i'tiqadan. Yani, we have to have knowledge of it, thorough knowledge of it. And we have to have strong, firm conviction, believing in it, in order to say that it's established firmly in the heart so that it can't be uprooted. Yani, the aqidah of la ilaha illallah has to be firmly established in the heart of the believer. But this can only be firmly established based on knowledge. You have to have knowledge. And then you have to have firm conviction so that it can't be separated from your heart. And this is the meaning, the root meaning of aqidah. Yani aqada means to tie, to bind, to cement something, to make it stick so it can't be broke loose. As far as its branches going high into the sky, the Shaykh said in his tafsir that these branches, he mentioned four things, yani four categories of goods, good things. And he said, Al-Kalim, Al-Tayyib, yani good speech. Wal-Amal, Al-Salih, righteous deeds. Wa Al-Akhlaq, Al-Mardiyya, yani pleasing character, manners, morals, naam. And he said, Al-Adab, Al-Hasana, yani good manners, good character and good manners. And this character is not limited to our character in dealing with people, but also our character with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani al-akhlaq, it is yani the way you deal with the people, but it's also your akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And then he said, its fruits, yani, are going, its branches are high in the sky, meaning going up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani these good deeds and good speech and these things that the believer is doing that come forth from the roots of the tree of faith. Yani these good deeds and good speech, they're going high up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Because the believer is what? Always doing good deeds, always worshipping Allah, dhikr, dua, salat, siyam, all kind of good deeds, good character, good manners, dealing with the people kindly, justly, mercifully, compassionately. All of this is constantly coming forth from, if the kalima la ilaha illallah is established in the heart of the believer, then these branches will be rising high into the sky to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bringing fruits forth all the time, yani, that benefit the believer, yani the reward for them, the thawab, and also benefit other people, yani that the believer comes in contact with. Because if a Muslim is practicing Islam for real, and knows Islam, knows the sunnah, and lives by it, all the people that come in contact with that believer will be benefiting. Muslims and kafirs, neighbors and co-workers, and so on. Because the Muslim, mashallah, like this, yani shajara tayyiba, and it's always, the Muslim is always bringing forth yani benefits, goods. This is a brief summary of what the Shaykh said concerning this particular parable. The next question, discuss how the author expresses the importance of knowing this tree and its descriptions and foundations and branches. And in the introduction, the author talks about very, very importantly, and his importance of knowing this tree. Anybody remember what he said concerning that? The first thing he said is that this tree is mutafawitatun fi qulub al-mu'minin. Yani that tafawatan aziman. Yani that it varies. The shajaratul iman varies in the hearts of the believers from one person to another. Yani a big difference between one and another. It's not the same. It's very, very different. And this is in accordance with what? It's in accordance with to whatever extent that person takes on these characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this tree with in the Quran. Yani the roots and the branches and the fruits. To the extent that a person knows about this tree and actually yani implements these things in their life and strives to nourish, to water, to feed, to care for this tree so that it grows and brings forth fruits, to that extent, the tree will vary greatly from one person to another. After that, he said, so therefore it is incumbent upon the yani al-abd al-muwaffaq, yani meaning the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given tawfiq to. It is incumbent upon that person, after Allah has given you tawfiq to guide you to Islam and guide you to the sunnah, and to put in your heart a desire and ability to act upon what you know. That is the person who Allah has given tawfiq to them. It's incumbent upon that person to strive to know this tree and to know its descriptions and to know its foundations, its roots and its branches, and then to strive yani to actualize it, to materialize it, to implement it in their life, to know about it and then to act upon it. And then he said, and this is really yani the critical point that he mentioned in the end of this chapter, he said this is because a person's portion of al-khayr, wal-falah, wal-sa'ada, al-ajila wal-ajila. Yani a person's portion, whatever amount of khayr you will get in this world and the next, whatever amount of success you will have, whatever amount of happiness in this world and the next that you will have will be in accordance to, will be dependent upon the extent to which you have established this tree in your life, in your heart, and in your life. And so that the good that we're going to achieve in this world, the benefit, the success, the happiness in this world and the next that a person will have is dependent upon yani how we take care of this tree. So for this reason it is critical that we first and foremost know everything about this tree. Know its descriptions. Know its foundations, its roots, its components, its branches, its fruits. Know about it and then yani strive to implement it. To implement it in our lives. Yani, know it and act upon it. Ilman wa amalan. Atahakkuk biha, he said. Ilman wa amalan. Establish it in ourselves. Yani, based on knowledge and then acting upon it. The next question that we had was, summarize the aqidah of the Murji'ah sect as it relates to the true iman and its manifestation in people today. And what is the summary, briefly, of the Murji'ah? And what was their aqidah as it relates to iman? Naam, fadl, yeah. They believe that iman of all the people are the same and the actions don't affect iman. And they believe that actions, deeds are not a part of iman. That iman is simply al-iqrar bil-qalb. Yani that a person has, yani they agree, they acknowledge, they accept, yani in their heart, La ilaha illallah. Then that's sufficient. Deeds have nothing to do with it. For that reason, the fasiq, the corrupt person, the fa'il al-kabir, the person who commits major sins, is mu'min kamil al-iman. They believe that this person, no matter what sins they commit, no matter what deeds they abandon, obedience to Allah that they abandon, they are a mu'min whose iman is complete and perfect. That's what they believe. And even Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said that they say that if they judge somebody to be a kafir for something that they left off, it's not because they left off some deed that was obligatory or committed some sin that was forbidden. It's because they didn't have iqrar. And they didn't have the affirmation, the confirmation of what is required for iman in their heart. Only because of that reason. Otherwise, the deeds that they do, they don't declare anybody to be a kafir or that there's any defect in them at all due to yani committing sins or failing to do the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has required of us. And so this is very, very important. And the second part of the question is manifestation in the people today. The manifestation that we see in the people today of this aqidah is manifest every time a person is told, ittaqillah, why are you committing such a sin? And they say, yani, my iman is in my heart. Yani, you don't know what's in my heart. Don't judge me by what you see me doing or not doing, because my iman is in my heart. So when a person believes that, there's no motivation whatsoever to be obedient to Allah or to avoid Allah's prohibitions. Because whatever you do or don't do, doesn't matter. The iman is just the conviction, the attestation, the confirmation in the heart, and that's it. Has nothing to do with the speech, nothing to do with the actions. As long as you have that in your heart, you're good to go. So this is a dangerous aqidah, extremely dangerous, and that's why the scholars of the people of Sunnah spend so much time in explaining what is iman, true iman, yani as it is explained and clarified in the Quran and in the Sunnah, so that people will know that iman is not just the conviction that you have in your heart, but if that conviction is there in the heart, if it's really there, then it will yani sprout. A tree will grow that has branches and that has leaves and that has fruits. Something will come forth from that. There will be actions and there will be speech. There will be behavior that's rooted in what is required from a person who believes in La ilaha illallah. The last question that we yani covered fully is discussed the author, rahimahullah's definition of iman. And I said last week that that the author, he has actually given a lengthy yani definition of iman, which actually are three different, yani three definitions. The same thing expressed in three different ways. The same thing expressed in three different ways. And I'm not really sure. If somebody could, let me see the English book. I'm not really sure if he has actually, if they have separated these things or... Well, they haven't really separated them. In any case, the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he has actually given three definitions. And the first of those definitions is relatively brief. If anybody remembers what he said from any of those definitions. Having?
Knowledge.
Having knowledge. Specifically, yani, he said that al-iman is at-tasdiq al-jazim wal-i'tiraf at-tam bi-jami' ma'amar Allah wa rasuluhu bil-iman bihi. That's the definition that he gave. Yani wal-inqiyad, wal-inqiyad zahiran wa batinan. Okay, he said that iman is at-tasdiq al-jazim. Yani firm, certain, yani affirmation of the truth, tasdiq al-jazm, yani that it's not mutaraddid, the person is firm on this. Wal-i'tiraf at-tam, complete acknowledgement, confession, admission of everything that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have ordered us to have iman in. And then he added to that, yani wal-inqiyad zahirun wa batinan, and that a person, yani comply inwardly and outwardly, meaning that they obey, they are obedient to whatever is required, yani of a person who has this iman, that not only they have this yani confirmation, firm confirmation, attestation in the heart, and conviction, yani that is complete and perfect in whatever Allah has ordered us to believe in, but then they also comply, they submit, they surrender, and they are obedient inwardly and outwardly, meaning the actions of the heart and the actions of the limbs, inwardly and outwardly. So this is the first definition that he gave, and if we examine it carefully, then we see that it includes the conviction in the heart, and it also includes the outward actions. Yani, rather, it also includes not just the conviction in the heart, but the actions of the heart. And it also includes speech, because yani, the outward actions includes everything that we do, whether yani, physically with our limbs or that we speak with. After this, he gave another definition, followed that with a definition that expresses it in a little different way and brings out further clarity. So he said that it is yani this affirmation or confirmation of the heart in its yani i'tiqad, the conviction that's in the heart, which is manifested al-mutadhammin yani li a'mal al-qulub wa a'mal al-badan, yani the actions of the heart and the actions of the body. So it's conviction and it is also actions. And a person has to have a belief, and they also have to have actions that come forth from that belief. And then he said, yani also that yani the scholars of the past, the A'imma and the Salaf, they used to say that that iman is speech of the heart and the tongue, and actions of the heart and the tongue and the limbs. And he said that this, the meaning of this is that yani it includes every part of the deen, yani aqaid al-iman wa akhlaqahu wa amalahu, yani the tenets that a person believes in that's required for iman, and the akhlaq, the character and manners and morals that's required by iman, and the amal of iman, that is the actions, the deeds, meaning the worship that a person does. So all of this yani is included in iman, and these different definitions that the shaykh has given rahimahullah, and he clarified for us yani that iman is speech and its actions, and it's also conviction in the heart, its actions of the heart, its actions yani on the tongue, actions of the limbs, and so all of this is included in iman. And inshallah yani this will be discussed further in some greater detail as the shaykh begins to bring some of the proofs and evidences that prove the speech and the action of the heart and the limbs, yani that all of this is part of iman. Now, and I left out one part here, that the shaykh said that the scholars of the past, they used to say that a speech and action and i'tiqad yazidu bitta'a wa yanqasu bilma'asiyya, that iman increases with acts of obedience and it decreases with acts of disobedience. Now, okay, so that's what we covered last week. The last thing that we covered was which would have been the seventh question, mentioned some of the usul of iman presented by the author, rahimahullah, and we're going to talk about that tonight again. I mean, we mentioned it in brief last week. If somebody wants to mention some of the usul of iman, if they remember from last week, some of the usul of iman, what are some of the usul of iman that the shaykh mentioned? Okay, if you don't remember, inshallah, we're going to go over it again tonight. Let me say here, before I start reading from the usul of iman, what the shaykh said concerning this, it's in Arabic on page 16, I'm not really sure in the English book, but it's right after the definitions that he gave of iman, then he began to mention some of the usul of iman. So what I want to say here is that here in English, again, and they didn't separate these points that the shaykh mentions into separate paragraphs, which would have made it much more clear to be able to follow. But I think in the Arabic edition that we have, I know for sure, matter of fact, in the Arabic edition, they have separated each of these points, five paragraphs, five sentences. Each one of them, he mentions something from the usul of iman. So we read these five sentences or these five paragraphs last week. Again, in the English translation, they haven't been divided into five separate sentences. So it might yani be sentences on top of sentences and may be difficult for a person to follow a little bit, but yani we'll try to like separate them a little bit. Okay, so the first thing he said, after giving the definition of iman, now he starts to mention what are some of the things, the specific of the things that we're required to believe in order to have iman. So he said, فَالْإِقْرَارُ وَالْإِعْتِرَافُ بِمَا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ الْحُسْنَى وَالصِّفَاتِ الْكَامِلَةِ الْعُلْيَى والأفعال الناشية عن أسمائه وصفاته هو من أعظم أصول الإيمان. الإقرار والإعتراف. يعني some of the scholars of Sunnah said that الإقرار is really the proper word to be used in Arabic as the linguistic definition of إيمان. الإقرار. Although تصديق is commonly used and sometimes إعتراف, but الإقرار includes all of these meanings. الإقرار means that a person has, yani agrees, testifies to the truthfulness of something, agrees with it, acknowledges it, and accepts it fully. Al-Iqra means that. In any case, the Shaykh he said here, فَالْإِقْرَارُ وَالْإِعْتِرَافُ بِمَا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى يعني acknowledging, affirming, confessing to whatever is the right of Allah the Most High from الأسماء الحسنى, the beautiful names that belong to Him. والصفات الكاملة العليا and the lofty, perfect and complete sifat, characteristics, descriptions or qualities that belong to Allah. والأفعال الناشئة عن أسمائه وصفاته and the actions that come forth from His names and His qualities or characteristics or descriptions. هو من أعظم أصول الإيمان. This is from the greatest of the أصول, the foundations or the fundamentals of Iman. Okay, let's try to look at this a little bit. The meaning here is that from the greatest of the fundamentals, the usul of Iman, is that a person acknowledges, agrees, testifies to the truthfulness of whatever belongs to Allah, from al-asma al-husna wa sifat al-ulya, yani al-kamila. That a person acknowledges, accepts, and has a firm conviction in that these beautiful names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named Himself with in the Qur'an, or that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us of in the authentic sunnah, acknowledging these beautiful names belong to Allah alone. And likewise, as-sifat al-kamil al-ulya, yani the characteristics or the qualities of perfection, the lofty, sublime characteristics of perfection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself with in the Qur'an, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have described Him with in the authentic sunnah. And the reason why I say authentic sunnah, because if it is a hadith that's not sahih, then we couldn't take our aqidah from that. And the discussion concerning hadith, yani that are da'if, and whether they can be used in certain areas and so forth, not in aqidah. So we say, these characteristics, these qualities, these descriptions of perfection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing with, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have described Him with in the authentic sunnah, we have to know them and believe them and accept them as belonging to Allah alone. وَالْأَفْعَالَ النَّاشِيَةَ عَنْ أَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ and also the actions that come forth from His names and His characteristics, all of this is from the greatest of the usul of Iman. Here I just wanted to make a note concerning the last point here. الْأَفْعَالَ النَّاشِيَةَ عَنْ أَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says in more than one place, in one place, Shifa al-Alil, he says that أفعال الرب تبارك وتعالى صادرة عن أسماء وصفاته يعني that the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come forth from His names and His characteristics, qualities, as opposed to the human being. And I don't want to deal with the part of the human being because it's a little bit lengthy, but he said as opposed to the أفعال of the created beings, they come forth, I mean the أسماء of the created beings come forth from their actions, meaning they get names when they do something, an action, then they get a name from that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's already named with these names and these characters and qualities without doing anything, before He does anything. He doesn't get the name because He does something. He's the creator before He brought anything into creation. Before He created anything, He's already al-Khaliq. He's already described with khalq, with creating. He's the Rabb before there was anything in existence besides Himself. He's the Rabb al-Alameen before there was any Alameen. And He's described with Rububiyyah before that. So, His names of perfection and His characters of perfection were always with Him eternally. And then His actions came forth from those names. Then His actions came forth from His names. That's the point that we want to make. That here, the Shaykh is saying, His Asma al-Husna wa Sifat al-Kamil al-Ulya والأفعال الناشية عن أسمائه وصفاته and then He has actions that come forth as a result of these beautiful perfect names and descriptions that He has. So He says here, so the رب تبارك وتعالى فعاله عن كماله يعني His actions come forth due to His perfection because He's perfect. So the actions that come forth are actions of perfection as a result of His perfection. So the Rabb لم يزل كاملاً that كاملاً Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always was perfect. And then يعني فحصلت أفعاله عن كماله then His actions يعني occurred because of His perfection. Because He is كاملٌ بذاته وصفاته Because him in and of himself, his divine being, is perfect. And his characteristics and qualities are perfect. And therefore his actions that come forth from that are perfect. فَأَفْعَالُهُ صَادِرًا عَنْ كَمَالِهِ كَامُلَ فَفَعَلَ. Yani he was perfect and therefore he acted. Yani actions of perfection that came forth from that. Shaykh Abdul Rahman Asadi in his introduction to his tafsir mentions from Ibn Qayyim a statement that is that لَا يَفْعَلُ إِلَّا مَا هُوَ مُقْتَضَى أَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ, that Allah doesn't do anything except that it is the result of, it is necessitated by his beautiful names and his perfect qualities and characteristics. So here the point that I want to make is that here the author, the Shaykh rahimahullah, the Imam, he is telling us here in this first paragraph that what is from the usul, from the greatest of the usul of Iman, is to confirm, to affirm, to attest to accept, to acknowledge, whatever belongs to Allah of Asma al-Husna wa Sifat al-Kamil al-Ulya, and also his actions that come forth from his names and sifat. What are those actions? Yani the actions of creating, the actions of providing, the actions of giving life and causing death. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's actions of khalq and rizq, tadbir, yani all of this is the result of his yani beautiful names and his perfect characteristics. So the actions of Allah, yani he is the khaliq, his name was khaliq even before he created. But then the act of creating came forth. And the act of creation, and the act of providing, and the act of giving life and death are from the aspects of Allah's Tawheed, Al-Khaliq, Wal-Razik, Wal-Mutasarrif, Wal-Mudabbir. From the action, from what aspect of Tawheed? Rububiyyah. Rububiyyah. Yani Rububiyyah includes yani Khalq, creating, and risk, providing, and giving life and death. So this is the first point that I want to make here, is that the Shaykh, he is including in this first paragraph the Asma wa Sifat, and as well the actions, which are the actions of Rububiyyah that come forth from his Asma wa Sifat. And this also, yani I'm going to talk about it a little bit further, but let me just read the second paragraph. وَكَذَلِكَ الْإِعْتِرَافُ بِمَا لِلَّهِ من الحقوق الخاصة وهو التألو والتعبد لله ظاهرا وباطنا من وصول الإيمان. Also from the fundamentals of Iman, likewise, are al-i'tiraf, the acknowledgement of what belongs to Allah of al-huquq al-khاصة. يعني rights that are special for Allah, are exclusive to Allah alone. يعني rights that no one else has. What do he mean by that? التألو والتعبد. Yani acknowledging that Allah is the ilah, that He is the one who is divine, and Allah is the ma'bud. He is the one that deserves to be worshipped. These are from the what? Al-huquq al-khasa, that are exclusive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Nobody shares in this divinity and right to be worshipped. It belongs to Allah alone. Acknowledging this, ظاهراً وباطناً. Yani meaning, inwardly believing in it, and outwardly displaying it. Yani exemplifying it, acting upon it. Yani believing that Allah is the only one that deserves worship, and then worshipping Him alone. And then worshipping Him alone. La sharika lahu. Without any partner. Sharing anything of it with Allah. Because whoever shares anything that is considered an act of worship, whether it's ritual worship like salat or zakat or dua, or whether it is other than that. Yani, because we know that worship, al-ibadah, is not just prayer and charity and fasting. But it is everything that is pleasing to Allah. Everything that Allah loves. Whether from speech or action, that which is seen or not seen, internally or externally. All of that is ibadah. As Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said in al-Ubudiyyah. Everything that Allah loves and is pleased with. That's done for Him alone. Yani, and that's why nobody else, this is the exclusive rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever offers any act of worship to other than Allah, then this is a shirk al-akbar. Major shirk that removes a person from Islam. They are no longer a Muslim. Yani a person supplicates to other than Allah, whether they're standing at a grave or far away from it. This is shirk that removes a person from Islam. And this is very serious, because this is actually occurring in the world today. Not just in the past. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when the mushrik, the pagans used to worship yani other than Allah. Rather today, people who identify themselves as Muslim are worshipping other than Allah. Openly and secretly. In many of the Muslim lands. In Africa, not only in Africa. In Asia, not only in Asia. In the Arab lands. I have been to many Arab countries. And I have seen the worship of other than Allah in broad daylight. It's not even hidden. You can go in the masjids in some countries. I don't want to identify any particular country to make somebody country look bad. But it's like widespread. Okay? It's happening everywhere. The worship of other than Allah. Openly, not secretly. So these are from the rights of Allah alone, he said. Here I want to mention, and Allahu Musta'an. I don't think we're going to get too far today. Allahu Musta'an. But it's important though. Here I want to mention that this second paragraph, yani acknowledging the exclusive rights of Allah, yani His divinity and His right to be worshipped openly inwardly and outwardly, is from the usul of Iman. This paragraph is dealing with which aspect of Tawheed? Uluhiyya, also known as Ubudiyya, also known as Tawheed al-Ibadah. That is related to worship. That worship belongs to Allah alone. In these two paragraphs, the author has mentioned yani the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the usul of Iman, the asul al-usul. Asul al-usul, the asul, the foundation of all the fundamentals of Iman, are belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the core of it is the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most of the scholars have divided Tawheed into three categories that are well known to us. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, and Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, and Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat. Here the author seems to have divided them into two categories, because he mentioned in one paragraph Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat, and he closed it with al-Af'al al-Nashi' an Asma'i wa-Sifati, which is really Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. He mentioned them together as one. And then in the second paragraph he mentions Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah, the huquq that are khasa, that are the exclusive rights of Allah alone. And here, I want to mention, and that's why we're not going to get so far today, but it's important. This is a benefit, I think. I want to mention Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah, in his book, very, very important book, Ad-Durus Al-Muhimma Li'Amat Al-Ummah. Ad-Durus Al-Muhimma, the important lessons for the general Muslims, Li'Amat Al-Ummah. For the Muslims in general. In that book, in the fourth chapter, he said, Aqsam al-Tawheed wa Aqsam al-Shirk. Yani the divisions of Tawheed and the divisions of Shirk. Qala al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah, yani al-Dars al-Rabi, Aqsam al-Tawheed wa Aqsam al-Shirk. Bayan Aqsam al-Tawheed wa hiya thalatha. Tawheed al-Rububiyya, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat. He said that clarification of the divisions or the types of Tawheed, and there are three. That is the Tawheed of Rububiyyah, that Allah is the only Rabb, the creator, the provider, the one who gives life and death, who controls all of the affairs, who manages everything, who does whatever He wills. And Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, then which is the Tawheed of Ubudiyyah, the worship that belongs to Allah alone. And Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, the Tawheed that all the beautiful names and perfect qualities and characteristics belong to Allah alone. And then he explains each one of these, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, that it is believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Khaliq and the Mutasarrif and so on. That He is the one who created everything and He is the one who does whatever He wills with the creation. Then he said, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah is related to Allah's right of worship. And then he said, Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, yani is believing that what Allah has said about Himself of names, or described Himself with names and characteristics in the Quran and authentic hadith, confirming them without negating them or distorting them or trying to explain how or making examples for them. And he actually explained it in a little bit of detail, but for the sake of time. I want to get to the point here that is the, yani, what I'm reading this for. After he mentions these three categories of Tawheed that are well known to us, he says, Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah said, وَقَدْ جَعَلَهَا بَعْضُ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ نَوْعَيْنِ. Some of the scholars have made it, instead of two categories of Tawheed, instead of three, made it in two. Some scholars have made it, yani, نَوْعَيْنِ, two types of Tawheed. وأدخل توحيد الأسماء والصفات وتوحيد الربوبية يعني في توحيد الربوبية. So they have entered توحيد الأسماء والصفات into توحيد الربوبية, making them as one. Yani meaning one category of Tawheed. Because both of them are related to yani the same type of thing. Yani the acknowledgement, the confession of what you need to know about Allah. His asma wa sifat and His rububiyyah. In the explanation of this book, Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, he says yani, that Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz in this lesson is clarifying the types of Tawheed. There are three that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Yani four. Yani the purpose of our creation was to establish the Tawheed in these three types. And then he mentions how they're related to one another. And then he comes to a point where he says, وَأَشَارَ الشَّيْخ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ فِي آخِرَ حَدِيثِهِ عَنْ هَذِي الْأَقْسَامِ أَنَّ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ مَنْ جَعَلَهَا قِسْمَيْنِ. He said here that Al-Imam Abdul Aziz, in the end of his discussion concerning the types of Tawheed or the divisions of Tawheed, he has pointed at the end here to the fact that there are some of the Ahlul Ilm who have made it two types or two divisions instead of three. And that appears to be what the author of Tawheed, Shajarat al-Iman, he has done. He has brought them together as two categories. Yani Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah and Asma wa Sifat together, and then he came with Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah second. Yani the Shaykh says in his explanation of this, he said that he has alluded to this by saying some scholars made them into two types. وَهُوَ تَوْهِيدْ الْعِلْمِ وَتَوْهِيدْ يعني تَوْهِيدْ الْعِلْمِ. He has made this, يعني تَوْهِيدْ الْعِلْمِ وَتَوْهِيدْ الْأُلُوهِيَّ قِسْمًا وَتَوْهِيدْ يعني he has divided into two categories, تَوْهِيدْ الْعِلْمِ and تَوْهِيدْ الْعَمَلِ. So he said that he made Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat one division, that is Tawheed al-Ilmi. And it's a Tawheed that's related to knowledge. Knowing about Allah, what you need to know about Him, acknowledging it, accepting it, confessing to it. And it's Tawheed al-Ilmi. You have to confess that Allah is the only Rabb. He's the only creator, the provider, the one who gives life and death and so on. And you have to know and acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's entitled to these perfect names and descriptions. He said he has divided them into these two categories. Some of the scholars, Tawheed al-Ilmi, that's Rububiyyah and Asma wa Sifat, and Tawheed al-Amali, that is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah Ubudiyyah. He said, so some of the scholars say that Tawheed is two divisions. Tawheed al-Ilmi, which includes Rububiyyah and Asma wa Sifat, and that is because both of them, what is required from both of them is to have knowledge. Al-Ilm wal-Ma'rifah wal-Ithbat. To have knowledge about Rububiyyah and Asma wa Sifat, to be acquainted with these things, and to what? Confirm them. And the second division, they said, Tawheed al-Amali, it is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, that is singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all worship, and making the deen purely for Allah alone. And then, yani the Shaykh, yani goes into a little bit further detail. I'm going to summarize it for the sake of time and just give you a reference. He says, so both of these two divisions of Tawheed, both of them, Tawheed al-Ilmi, having knowledge about Rububiyyah and Asma wa Sifat, and Tawheed al-Amali, acting upon Allah's right to be worshipped alone, doing that. Both of these are intended, or the purpose of creation, as is indicated. The first of them is indicated in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Talaq, I think it's 65, Talaq, 65, ayah 12, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the meaning of which is that Allah created the seven heavens and the earth, and from the earth the like of them, seven earths, and that the command, al-amr, yatanazzalu al-amr, baynahuma, li ta'alamu anna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. So that you know that Allah is the one who has power over everything. And He created the heavens and earth so that you will know that Allah has power over everything and that Allah's knowledge encompasses everything. Knowledge. And Allah created the creation so they will know that He is the creator, that He is the one who has power over everything. That's in Surah Al-Talaq. The second ayah that the Shaykh mentions, the second Tawheed al-Amali is indicated in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Dhariyat, ayah 56, I think Dhariyat is 51, 56, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. They have not created the jinn and the men except to worship Me. So He created men and jinn to worship Him. That's Tawheed al-Amali. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Ubudiyyah, al-Ibadah. And the first of them is He created the creation to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has power over everything. His knowledge encompasses everything. So Tawheed al-Ilmi is a purpose of creation. Allah created us to know His Rububiyyah and His Asma wa Sifat. And Tawheed al-Amali, Allah created us to do actions, yani to worship Him alone. And the Shaykh says, so the first of these, yani Tawheed al-Ilmi, is indicated in the first ayah in Surah Al-Talaq, and the second of these, Tawheed al-Amali, is indicated in the second ayah in Surah Al-Dhariyat. And both of these two types of Tawheed are what are intended, yani Allah intended the creation for, to know yani His names, and to know His sifat, and to know Him through His names, His beautiful names, and His lofty characteristics, and His af'al al-azimah. In Tawheed al-asma wa sifat, and Tawheed al-rububiyyah, His af'al, yani al-azimah. And the second type, Tawheed al-amali, is so that Allah will be singled out for worship, and that the deen will be made sincerely, exclusively for Allah alone. So this, yani diversion a little bit, is for the purpose of us understanding why the Shaykh has mentioned in the first paragraph, yani asma wa sifat and al-af'al al-nashiyah and asma'i wa sifatihi, why he mentioned them together, yani from the perspective of them being one type of tawheed, tawheed al-ilmi. This makes us to know the importance of knowledge. Okay, I'm sorry, but we have to stop here and take a note. The importance of knowledge. We have to know. Today we find that many Muslims don't know about Allah. They don't know Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. They don't know about Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Even though they say, we know Allah is the Rabb. Even the Kafirs say that. But knowing it in detail, as Allah has given us this divine yani revelation, the revelation that came in the Quran, and the revelation that came on the tongue of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sunnah. Knowing it like that, nobody else knows it like that. Even the Muslims don't know it if we don't study. And the Prophet ﷺ said, طالب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. The seeking knowledge is a farida, it's obligatory on every Muslim. Whether young or old, male or female, learned and unlearned, everybody has to be seeking knowledge. This knowledge is part of the reason why we were created, to know Allah, to know His asma, to know His sifat, to know about His actions, the actions of His rububiyyah. And that, so that we would then know that He is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. The third paragraph, the Shaykh says, وَالْإِعْتِرَافُ بِمَا أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَنْ مَلَائِكَتِهِ وَجُنُودِهِ وَالْمَوْجُودَاتِ السَّابِقَةِ وَاللَّاحِقَةِ وَالْإِخْبَارِ بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرَةِ كُلُّ هَذَا مِنْ أُصُولِ الْإِيمَانِ. These things also are from the usul of iman. That is, al-i'tiraf, the acknowledgement of whatever Allah has informed us of concerning His angels and His junood, His forces of different types that they call the forces of nature. The forces of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nature doesn't own anything, doesn't control anything. Allah is the one who has forces. The rain, the snow, the hail, the earthquakes, all of that, these are the forces of Allah. Yani to acknowledge whatever Allah has informed us of concerning His angels and His junood. And al-mawjudat al-sabika wal-lahika. And the things that, yani, existed in the past or they're going to exist in the future. Meaning things that happened in the past that we don't know about except that Allah informed us of it. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us of it. He informed us of Al-Isra wa Mi'raj, for example. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us to know, He mentions it in the Quran, that He yani honored His servant, His abd, with traveling in the night journey and the ascension to the seven heavens. That's something that we were not present for. But Allah informed us of it, we have to believe in that. Allah also made us to know that there are going to be things that are going to happen in the future. Like the coming of Dajjal, and the Yajuj and Ma'ajuj, and the coming of the return of Isa, and so on. These things are going to happen. We have to believe in them. And then he said, وَالْإِخْبَارِ بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرَةِ, and also what he informed us of concerning the last day. Yani the last day meaning everything that happens after death. The fitna of the grave. Yani the questioning in the grave. The na'im and the azab of the punishment and the bliss, reward that a person will receive in the grave even before the judgment day. Yani the resurrection, the weighing of the deeds, the suhuf, the records that people will be given in the right hand, the left hand, or behind their back. The paradise and the hellfire. These are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of concerning al-yawm al-akhir. Al-yawm al-akhir, When a person dies, that's there. Yani, the beginning of Yawm al-Akhir for them. Everything that happens after a person dies, in the grave and whatever comes after that. Believing, acknowledging, recognizing, accepting, confessing to all of what Allah has informed us about. Concerning His angels and the last day and the things that happened in the past that will happen in the future. All this from the usul of Iman. The fourth paragraph, the Shaykh says, وَكَذَلِكَ الْإِمَانُ بِجَمِيعِ الرُّسُلِ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَا وُصِّفُوا بِهِ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ من الأوصاف الحميدة كل هذا من أصول الإيمان. And likewise, the acknowledgement, the acceptance, the confession, agreeing to, يعني having Iman in all of the messengers, from the first of them to the last of them. All the prophets and messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, from Adam until the last of them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Believing in all of them. And what they have been described with, of praiseworthy characteristics, in the book and in the sunnah. All of this from usul iman, and I'm going to mention here, I'm going to say here also, believing in the messengers also includes believing in al-kutub al-munazzal alayhim. Believing in the books that have been sent to them. Books that have been revealed to them. Even though the Shaykh doesn't mention the books here, but he mentions al-rusul. And whatever they have been described with, what they have been described with, that revelation came to them. So this is also part of what we believe in. And he believing that books were sent to the prophets and messengers, and all of it is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the last of them is the Qur'an. And then the fifth paragraph, the last of what he says concerning the usul of iman, كَمَا أَنَّ مِنْ أَعْظَمْ أُصُولَ الْإِيمَانِ. Also, from the greatest of the usul of iman, here he returns back to tawheed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الاعتراف بانفراد الله بالوحدانية والألوهية وعبادة الله وحده لا شريك له وإخلاص الدين لله والقيام بشرائع الإسلام الظاهرة والحقائق الباطنة كل هذا من أصول الإيمان. All of this is also from أصول الإيمان. The Shaykh says what? الاعتراف, the acknowledgement, the confession of انفراد الله بالوحدانية, that Allah سبحانه وتعالى is alone in الوحدانية. And I want to translate wahdaniyya instead of as being one or oneness, uniqueness. Because, yani, nadir, he's one nadir. And tariq is one tariq. But none of us are unique. But Allah alone is unique. Meaning that his characteristics of perfection and his beautiful names are unique, uniquely belong to him alone. So, infiradillah bil wahdaniyya. That Allah is alone in this uniqueness. The names and characteristics that he's been described with. And uluhiyya, his divinity. Wa ibadatullah wahdahu la sharika la, and the worship of Allah alone without any partners for him. Wal ikhlas ad-din lillahi, and making the deen sincerely for Allah alone. The whole of the deen is for Allah alone. Everything that we do should be for Allah alone. وَالْقِيَامِ بِشَرَعِ الْإِسْلَامِ الظَّاهِرَةِ وَحَقَائِقِهِ الْبَاطِنَةِ, and also establishing, fulfilling all of what has been legislated in Islam. الشَّرَعِ الظَّاهِرَةِ, the things that are seen outwardly, openly, like the arkan of Islam, the salat and zakat and siyam and hajj and so on. The legislation that Allah has legislated, الظَّاهِرَةِ, that are seen outwardly, externally. وَحَقَائِقِهِ الْبَاطِنَةِ, and also the realities, the inner realities that are not seen, like the arkan of iman. Yani the iman, believing in Allah and the angels and the books and so on. All of this we have to fulfill. And again, this goes back to what? It goes back to that iman is not just something internally. Yani it's zahiran wa batinan. It's internally and it's also externally. Of course. Yani it's not just in the heart, but it also has to be manifested externally in fulfilling, in establishing all that Allah has legislated. Not just saying, my iman is in my heart. You don't know what's in my heart. You can't judge what's in my heart. We don't need to judge what's in your heart. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, we don't know what's in your heart. We're going to judge you by what we see. If you don't show up for the Fajr prayer, that's a sign of something. I don't know what's in your heart. And we're not trying to judge. Allah has to judge what's in your heart. And Allah does know what's in the heart. So when somebody says, you don't know what's in our heart, it doesn't matter. I'm not the judge and I'm not the one who's going to reward or punish. But Allah, He's the one who knows And he's the one who's going to reward and punish. So that excuse is batil. Then you don't know what's in my heart. Don't need to know. Allah is the one who's going to punish and reward. And I think we're almost out of time here. So I have to read this last paragraph, which is of critical importance. So the Shaykh, after mentioning these five paragraphs, which he has mentioned, most of the yani arkan of iman. And there's one more point that I want to mention related to qadr al-qadha, but we'll mention it next time because of the time. He didn't mention al-qadr al-qadha here. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, not mentioning here, is explained in another place where he talks about this. We don't have time to read it now, but in any case, yani he says that al-iman bil-qadr al-qadha dakhil fi al-iman في إيمان بربوبية الله على خلقه. That the having إيمان in قدر القضاء or القضاء والقدر is a part of having إيمان in the ربوبية of Allah over His خلق. Because whoever believes that Allah is the خالق, creator, and the مدبر, the one who decides the affairs and متصرف, the one who does whatever He wills in the affairs of the creation, all of it, فهو مؤمن بالقضاء والقدر. Whoever believes that Allah is the creator and the one who decides the affairs and the one who does whatever he wills, al-fa'al lillima yureed. Whoever believes that he is the razik, that he is the one who gives life and death, then that person is a mu'min bil-qadha wal-qadha. And then he said also that the tawheed of rububiyyah is not complete or perfected until a person, hatta ya'taqid al-abd anna jami' al-af'al al-ibad makhluqa lillahi. Until a person believes, has firm conviction that all of the actions of the human beings, of the creators, of the creatures are created by Allah. And that their mashiyah, their will, is subject to the will of Allah. And that nonetheless, they do have an ability and they have a will that, yani, due to which their actions occur. And therefore they are responsible for what they do. But nonetheless, there is no contradiction between confirming, yani, the will of Allah, which is complete and comprehensive and covers everything, and confirming the ability of the human being to do the actions that they do and being responsible for them. In any case, this is the summary of what the Shaykh said here, and that is that the iman in qadr al-qadha is a part of the tawheed of rububiyyah. Whoever believes that Allah is the creator and the provider and the perfecter and the one who controls all affairs, and that person believes in al-qadha wal-qadha. So the last thing I want to say here is at the bottom of these five yani paragraphs related to the usul of iman, the Shaykh says, وَلِهَذَا رَتَّبَ اللَّهُ, where's my watch? Yeah. وَلِهَذَا رَتَّبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ دُخُولَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّجَاةِ مِنَ النَّارِ. It is for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made yani iman the basis of a person entering the Jannah or being saved from the hellfire. Yani because iman is inclusive of the whole of the deen, inwardly and outwardly. Yani the i'tiqad that's in the heart, the speech that's on the tongue, the actions of the limbs of the body, all of this is iman. And for this reason, this iman that we're talking about here is the basis due to which a person will enter the Jannah or be saved from the hellfire. Here, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that's reported by al-Bukhari, he said, لا يدخل الجنة إلا مؤمن. No one will enter the Jannah except a mu'min. Iman is the basis of a person entering Jannah. No matter what a person does or says, if they don't have iman, they can never enter the Jannah. Iman is the basis for a person entering the Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said in a hadith that's reported by al-Bukhari, يخرج من النار من قال لا إله إلا الله وفي قلبه وزن شعيرة من خير أو وزن برة من خير أو وزن ذرة من خير. And in some of the narrations it said in Bukhari, من الإيمان, in the place of من خير, من إيمان. يعني that يخرج من النار, that a person will come out of the hellfire who has been يعني subjected to punishment hellfire due to whatever they did in this world that they didn't repent from, and Allah didn't يعني forgive them, but He justly punished them with what they deserve. That person will yakhruj, will come out of the hellfire, if they said la ilaha illallah and they had in their heart even the amount of iman that's equal to a grain of barley or a grain of wheat or dharra, يعني ذرة, they say today an atom, because that's the smallest thing that they know. But the scholars of the past used to say that it's an ant, a type of ant that's so small, 100 of them is not equal to the weight of a barley seed. That's how Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani explained the Fath al-Bari. Yani something so small, even if a person has that much iman, they will come out of the hellfire. So that iman is the basis for a person entering the hellfire, and it is also the basis for a person yani coming out of the hellfire. And as we mentioned in the first session, that iman, perfect iman, will prevent a person from entering the hellfire. من الدخول. And even a little bit of iman would prevent a person from remaining in the hellfire eternity. من الخلود. So no person would enter the fire if they have perfect iman, and no person would remain eternally in the hellfire if they have even a little bit of iman. Then the Shaykh says, وَرَتَّبَ عَلَيْهِ رِضْوَانُهُ وَالْفَلَاحِ وَالسَّعَادَةِ. Yani also he has made the basis of a person have earning the pleasure of Allah, or success, or happiness, yani in this world or the next, based upon iman. It is the basis for this. It is subject to a person having iman. وَلَا يَكُونُ ذَلَكَ إِلَّا بِمَا ذَكَرْنَا. And this would not be so, that the entry to the hellfire and being saved from, or the entry into the paradise and being saved from the hellfire and earning the pleasure of Allah and success and happiness in this world and the next, it couldn't be that all of this is based on iman, unless that iman is the iman that we have mentioned. Yani the all-inclusive iman that includes al-aqa'id, wa-amal al-kulub, wa-amal al-jawarih. That includes what? The conviction that's in the heart and the actions of the heart. Yani al-ikhlas, wal-mahabba, wal-khawf, wal-tawakkul. The actions of the heart. The conviction in the heart and the actions of the heart. As well as the actions of the limbs. Meaning, actions here meaning what? The ibadah, the worship. لِأَنَّ مَتَى فَاتَ شَيْءٌ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Because anytime somebody is lacking any of these things, whether it's from the conviction of the heart, or the action of the heart, or the worship of the limbs of the body, speech that's part of iman, anytime any of this is lacking, حَصَلَ مِنَ النَّقْصِ, then there will occur some defect in the person's iman. وَفَوَاتَ الثَّوَابِ, and therefore they will lose out on some reward. وَحُصُولَ الْعِقَابِ, and they will get some punishment. بِحَسَبِهِ, in accordance with the defect or the deficiency, the shortcoming that they have in their i'tiqad that's in the heart, the tasdeeq that's in the heart, the actions of the heart, the speech of the tongue, the actions of the limbs. Whatever a person falls short in any of these, to that extent they will lose out on some reward and they will get some punishment to that extent. And this shows the importance of al-iman, the all-inclusive iman that the Shaykh is going to talk about yani in the ayat and the hadith that follow, that will be like discussing and reviewing in the next session bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. What I want to say here is that it is of critical importance that yani what the Shaykh has written here and that we have discussed quickly in this hour needs to be reread and reviewed and reflected upon, and then we have to examine ourselves. Yani let us stop occupying ourselves with looking at somebody else. It's a waste of time. Wallahi, it's a waste of time. I heard a video of a person asking one of the students of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. They said that some people, and I'm going to close with this, please give me 1 minute, inshallah. They said that some people, some students of now are saying that Shaykh al-Uthaymeen used to criticize, used to speak about and warn against Abdurrahman Abdul Khaliq. And I don't need to mention, if you don't know who he is, it's not important. That's not the point. The point is that the student of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, this is not so. The Shaykh didn't warn against him. Not because he didn't deserve to be warned against. Maybe he did or didn't. That's not the point. But he said, no, it's not true. The Shaykh did not warn against him. Rather, the Shaykh never occupied himself with talking about other people. He said that we have more than 7,000 hours of the Shaykh's talks and speeches and lessons. And if you could collect from 7,000 hours, that which amounts to 1 hour of the Shaykh talking about anybody, you'd be good. If you could do so. The point of this is that this is an imam from the people of Sunnah. A real imam from the people of Sunnah. And you can't find, if you listen to his talks, thousands of hours, you can't find him talking about people. Rather, if a question came to him and he had to address it about something that somebody said or did, he would address the issue, not the person. He would just say, this is what's right and this is what's wrong, without yani addressing the individual. If there's a need to talk about somebody, to identify somebody, to warn people who might be endangered by somebody, that's one thing. But that shouldn't be our occupation. That should not be our occupation. That wasn't the occupation of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. It was not his occupation. And it wasn't the occupation of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And these are from our imams. And they are an example for us. And as the Prophet, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani taught us in the Quran, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us imams for the muttaqeen, and we understood that the meaning of this is that we follow the people of righteousness before us. Then perhaps, yani people might follow us in that righteousness. So the following of the people before us is following the imams of the people of Sunnah. And whoever is doing other than that, beware. Just beware. That wasn't the way of our imams. And I hope it's understood. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.